Hallelujah, hallelujah. For a couple of years, we've been sharing our Sunday morning services via Messages on Demand, which one of the things I thought interesting is some of the messages that have received the most plays. Now, I have an advantage the rest of you don't have. You can go to Messages on Demand, and you see the list of sermons, and you can arrange them by the most recent, by alphabet, or various other ways. But I have an inside track, and I can go in and see how many have gotten played and how many have gotten downloaded to MP3 and so on. And I thought it was kind of interesting, the messages that were in the top five number of plays. One of them was a message entitled Religious Values. That was one of the top plays, one of the top five, followed just a couple of numbers behind by one on ethics. And there was another message that was actually number five that was called Tight But Right. And I don't know if any of you here remember that message a few years ago, Tight But Right. And I was out with my wife one day going to yard sales, and we went to this yard sale, and there's this little old black Baptist preacher there. And we got to talking, and he said something about, well, I'm tight but right. And God gave me a message from that. And that came in number five, because sometimes you got to be tight because you're right. You know, sometimes you got to stand up and take a stand and say, I'm not going to budge because this is what God's word has to say. So I'm going to stand by it because I know I'm right because it's in God's word. Now, if it's not in God's word, there might be some times you could be wrong. But if it's in here, you're right. There's just no question about it. Well, last week's message was it's good to be afflicted. And I know some people think that's a strange title. It's good to be afflicted, but it's in the Bible more than once that it's good to be afflicted. And nobody likes to be afflicted. Well, unfortunately, the message, when it came on Messages on Demand, got afflicted. And a 36-minute message became a 7-minute message. And we still don't know what happened there, but we're going to get it reinstalled next week, and hopefully it'll all play, because everything else had the full 36 minutes. I only mention that because something I said in last week's message, and it's not in the part that got in Messages on Demand, had to do with something I'm going to deal with today. Last week I mentioned, just kind of off the cuff almost, that there was a time when a man's word was as good as his bond. That phrase, by the way, is attributed to a Miguel de Cervantes, who said, an honest man's word is as good as his bond, and this was standard in the early days of our nation. And some of you folks that are a little bit older here, you may remember this happening that way, or you may have heard your parents or grandparents talk about, well, we did this on a handshake. And that's all it took. Because if you said you were going to do it, you were going to do it if it was at all earthly possible to do so. And you stood by what you said. And if for some reason you couldn't do it, you went to the person and said, I'm sorry, but I'm unable to do this. And you explained why, and you had a good reason why you couldn't do it. Well, just to be clear, what is a bond? Let me know what a bond is. We talk about bonds. And you know, the English language is kind of great sometimes. We have words that can have umpteen different meanings. There's a bond, like the bond between parents and child, you know, or between siblings and things like that. And then there's a bond that has to be posted to get out of jail, you know, I find this kind of amusing, really. Driving around, I see some of the billboards, particularly the bus stop bench billboards ads, and for these various bonding companies, and we're there to get you out. One bonding company, by the way, even has a party bus so you can go out and party once they've sprung you. And I've often wondered how many of those folks end back up in jail after they've had the ride on the party bus, you know. So there's a bond like that. There's a bond is basically a surety. It's something you put down to say, I'm going to perform what I said I was going to do. People who are in business, for example, may have to put up a financial guarantee or a surety bond that they will complete their job. That's why sometimes when you look for a contractor to do a job, you make sure he's bonded. Because that means if he doesn't do it, you can collect. You've got somebody you can fall back on other than just say, oops, I'm sorry, and you've lost your money because he's long gone. Well, a good man's word will act as a bond. And you will only have to trust the good man's word. You know, you can say a good man's word. It's one that you can take, and essentially you can take it to the bank. The Bible talks a lot about vows, oaths, and bonds. We find this in the book of Numbers in particular. And Numbers, for some that are listening, are part of the Pentateuch. First five books of the Bible are in Jewish circles the Torah, or the law. And here in the book of Numbers, particularly in chapter 30 of the book of Numbers, I want to read just verse 2. And it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath, or bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. This was what was said. This was law. If you make a vow, you keep that vow. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, and we don't have time to do so during this service today, but most of Numbers chapter 30 deals with vows, oaths, or bonds. Also in the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, it says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Reminds me of a story I heard a long time ago. And you can tell it's a long time ago when I start to tell you because of what it describes here. But there was this gentleman, this businessman that had never flown. He was afraid of flying. And he gets on the airplane because he's got to get there. And that's the fastest way to get there. And it's his only option to get on that airplane. And he's seated on the airplane, window seat. And they're flying along. And he looks out the window. And this was a propeller-driven aircraft, so you can tell it's an old story. Propeller-driven aircraft. And he looks out because it's dark outside in the night sky. And he sees sparking in the engine. And he says, oh, no, the plane's about to catch on fire. And he begins to pray, dear God, if you'll just get me down from here safely, I'll give you half of everything I've got. And this man was a very well-known millionaire. Plane levels out. Things go smoothly. Lands safely at the airport. And as they're landing, there happened to be a preacher sitting in the row right behind him. And he reaches over and taps him on the shoulder. And he says, sir, I heard your prayer. How you told God if he'd get you down safely, you'd give him half of everything you've got. And the preacher was getting ready for the guy to write him a check. And the guy looked him in the eye and said, preacher, I made him another one. I told him if he ever caught me on one of these things again, he could have it all. Well, the moral to that story is sometimes people make vows and they find a way to work around their vow. Find a way of escape, that escape clause that people like to put into it. I vow I'll do this with this exceptions, you know. It's like when you go to a sale. How many of you ladies go to sales? Oh, I think you all do. Anyway, you go sometimes and you've got this coupon that says good for 25% off. And then you got this little asterisk there. And then you read the fine print there. Except, and it names about 95% of the stuff in the store. I went one day with my wife and I had one of those coupons and there was not one thing that she picked out that that coupon applied to. Well, sometimes we want to make a vow, but we want to have that escape clause. God, I'll do this. Makes it sound good. But let's put this little here fine print in here and get my lawyer involved and all these other things. But the Bible says here, if you make a vow unto God, you should not be slack to pay it, for the Lord God will surely require it of you. Judges chapter 11 tells us about a man who made a vow. And sometimes when we make a vow, it may become a hard one to keep. Something may get thrown in there that makes us want to break it, you know. But we're not going to have time to read this entire story here, Judges chapter 11, verses 30 through 39, but we're going to read most of it. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whosoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, surely shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now he's making a pretty strong vow there. Whoever is the first to come out of the door of my house when I return home in peace, I'll offer it up as a burnt offering. And he was probably in the back of his mind hoping it was going to be Fido. You know? So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer, even to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plains of the vineyard, and with very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that would trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord and cannot go back. Now here was a man who believed what we read in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21, that when you make a vow unto God, you've got to keep that vow no matter how hard it is. And he says, my daughter, this has made me very sad, but I made a vow to God, and I've got to keep my vow. And I know some people say, that's pretty hard. That's pretty hard of God to expect that to happen. Let's go on. And she said unto him, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do so to me according to that which proceedeth out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, let this thing be done for me, let me alone for 2 months, that I may go up and down unto the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go, and he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had offered. And she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel. You see, that was a tough vow to make. So we got to watch when we make a vow that we're careful sometimes. You know, we can't just go out and rashly say, I'm going to make this vow unto God because it makes us look good. It's like the person when they're taking up an offering in church and they need to raise funds for a particular purpose and somebody wants to look good. Well, I'll give $1,000. And they got no intention of giving it, but they want to look good. He made a vow. It was a tough one to keep, but he kept the vow. And we've got to keep a vow we make to God, no matter how tough, no matter how hard it is, we've got to keep it. Because the Bible tells us if we don't, God will require it of us. And it would be a sin in us. When we keep our word or our vow, God will bless it. Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and just kind of a review here, there's a lady by the name of Hannah who has no children. She goes down to the temple to pray, and she's asking and seeking God that he would give her a child. And in verse 11, it says, "And she vowed a vow and said unto the Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the afflictions of thine handmaiden and remember me, and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head." She said, "God, if you'll bless me with a child, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life." And the Bible goes on to tell us that God blessed her. He heard her prayer. Yeah, she had a little splaining to do to the priest there because he thought she was drunk. If you read that story in there. And when she explained to him what was going on, he blessed her then. God honored her vow. Then we find in verses 27 through 28, she says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And this is her in the conversation going on there at the temple. And then in verse 21, of chapter 2, "And the Lord visited Hannah." Now let me stop here just a minute. She had a child named Samuel. They figure that because she kept him until he was weaned, before she took him to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord and said, okay, he's in the service of God now. They figure maybe 3 years old, somewhere in that area was the time. But she maintained her vow. You know, that had to be tough, I'm sure. God, you've given me this child, but now I've got to go send him and let him live at the temple, you know, the rest of his life, you know. I mean, a lot of people would have wanted to back out on their vow to God and said, God, I'm going to keep him at home. I forget what I said earlier. I'm going to keep him. But the Bible says she took him. She handed him over to the priest and said, he's here now. I'm fulfillment of my vow. He will serve God all the days of his life. Bible goes on to tell us that she went on occasion, she took him garments and she took him this and she took him that. She didn't just say, well, he's gone now and write him off, but she went and continued to visit him. But did God honor this vow that she made because she kept her? He sure did, because in chapter 2 here, verse 21, it says, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." He honored her vow. She asked God for one thing and made a vow to God. If you will give me a male child, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. She made her vow, and even though as a mother it must have been hard, she fulfilled her vow, and she gave Samuel back to the Lord. And God honored her vow by giving her these additional children that she didn't even ask for. He blessed her abundantly because she kept her word. She kept her vow that she had made to God. Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest man, Bible says he was the wisest man. Here's what he had to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Look, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. And there's a lot of people out there today that are making vows, even in the church, and no intentions of keeping the vows they make to God. Some do it for show. Some maybe do it out of, well, going back to what Solomon had to say, out of stupidity. I'll be nicer, you know. But they make these vows rashly sometimes. You know, speaking of vows, there's vows that we're all familiar with, and that's the wedding vows, right? And it's interesting because a lot of weddings anymore, they want to leave part of what used to be in the wedding vows out, you know. And I'll love, honor, and cherish you at least till after the reception's over. And sometimes not that long, you know. But used to it was when people made a vow, they kept that vow. You made a vow through sickness and health, rich or poor, all these things, and you stuck with it. And sometimes it was hard. But they kept their vows. We need to keep our vows. Did the people in the New Testament ever make vows? I just want to give you a couple of examples here of people who made vows. Acts chapter 18, verse 18, and this is speaking of the Apostle Paul. It says, "And Paul, after he tarried there for yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence into Syria with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow." He had made a vow which required him to cut his hair. And it said he cut his hair. Maybe he shaved it. Maybe it was just cut close. I don't know. But he kept that vow that that's what he was going to do. Goes on in Acts chapter 21, verses 23 through 24. "Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Then take them and purify thyself with them, and be at charge with them, that they may shave their heads, and may that all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou also walkest orderly and keepest the law." They had made a vow, and their head was shaved to show that they made a vow. Now, I'm glad we don't shave people's heads today to show that they've made a vow. You know, some of us wouldn't look as good bald. And I'm on my way to finding out how I'm going to look, you know, and several of us are. But they made a vows. Jesus speaks concerning our word. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, he says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." And if I read that out of the Complete Jewish Bible, it says, "Just let your yes be a simple yes, and let your no a simple no. Anything more than this has its origin in evil." Sometimes we got to put too much into it. Like I said, we got to add all the fine print. Yes, I'm going to do this, or no, I'm not going to do this. Keep it simple. That way you don't get in trouble. You know? Did you ever talk yourself into trouble sometimes when you started out to do something good and you kept talking till you got yourself in trouble? I think all of us have probably at some point or another, because you finally said something that they latched onto and used against you or whatever. But let your yes be yes and your no, no. Well, let's just take a peek into the future, because around here we like to talk about things that are coming, events that are coming. We like to talk about the future that God has for us. We also talk about the future that God has for planet Earth and for the people residing here on planet Earth in the very near future. But here in the book of Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, and in this he's writing to the seven churches. And here he's writing to the church in Philadelphia, and it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept thy word, and hast not denied my name." Sometimes we don't have a lot of strength in ourselves. Sometimes we're very weak in certain areas. But it says here they had little strength, but yet they kept God's word. And they did not deny his name. I got news for you folks, and I'm sad to say this, but there are a lot of churches out there that have not kept God's word, and they have denied his name. And some of them are pretty famous preachers too. But they've denied what the word of God has to say. They've denied God's name. It says, going on, it says here, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." God said there's a time coming upon this earth, a time of temptation, a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of hardship, and we see it. And it's just around the corner. But he said, if we have kept his word and we've not denied his name, he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. And I don't like to think about, really, some of the things that are going to happen. That it, even if you've not been in church very often, all you've got to do is watch the news. And you know that something's afoot. You know that some tough times, some changes are coming. You know that the world as we know it today could change tomorrow drastically and never be the same again. But God has said, if we don't deny his word, or we keep his word, and we don't deny his name, he's going to look out for us. And yeah, some of us, we may have to lay down our life for the cause of Christ. It's possible that some of us, even seated in this place today, might have to do so. But he said, I'll take care of you. Let's go back a moment, almost 2,000 years ago to the early church when they were being persecuted. They were being thrown to the lions. They were being burnt to the stake. Do you think that was easy for them? No. But they knew who they served. And we know historically that they went in saying, I'm not going to deny God. I'm going to stand for God. And I personally believe that when you do that, God's going to stand there with you. And he's going to be there no matter what trial comes against you. He's going to be there with you to help you out, to get you through it. Is your word your bond or your surety? 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 says, But whosoever keepeth his word unto him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. If we keep his word, if we keep his word, our word will be good. Amen. Because if our word's not good, then we're not keeping his word. It's just simple as that. If our word is no good, then we have not kept God's word. And shame on the preachers out there that have not kept God's word. And there's more than you think. 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you." God's word endures forever. His word endures forever. And that is the good news. That is the gospel that we are supposed to be preaching, that God's word is enduring forever. And God is going to take care of you if you put your faith, if you put your hope, if you put your trust in Him. God will take care of it. God's word. For God's word to bless us in our lives, we've got to keep our word. We've got to keep our word. You see, God always keeps His word. We read this scripture last week, and we're going to read it again today. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. And that's out of the complete Jewish Bible. God's word will endure forever. What He said in this book, it's going to happen. What He said in this book, it's going to take place. If He said thus and so, then you can mark it, thus and so will take place. And He said there is a time coming that if you're not a Christian, you don't want to be a part of it, but you're going to be. And as a Christian, He's going to take care of you. He's also said that if you're a born-again Christian, and I want to clarify that, if you are a born-again Christian, not just one who claims the name Christian, but you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, He said, "I've got things for you that's beyond your imagination." It's beyond our ability to comprehend what God has for us. What is written in His Word is not even the tip of the iceberg. It can't be explained because our brain can't comprehend it yet, what God has in store for us. His word is true. His word endures forever. And if you're listening to me today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day. Today is the day, and stand on what He said in His word. And He said, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you accept Him into your heart as your personal Savior, and you say, "Jesus, come into my heart today. Forgive me of my sin." He will do so. He will come into your heart and He will wash away that sin. And the Bible tells us He remembers it against us no more. We sometimes remember it. And other people sometimes remember it. But God looks back and says, "What? I don't remember that anymore." Because it's wiped away. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. And all of those promises that God has for us in His word become yours when you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. Father, today as I pray for these that are making decisions today. And Father, as this message is heard in various parts of the world, Father, I just pray that it would speak to hearts and lives. Maybe someone listening today will have never heard that Jesus loves them and that He cares for them and that He has better things promised for them than what they're enduring right now. Father, I just pray that You would speak to those hearts. Let the Holy Spirit do a work right now in hearts and lives. We thank You now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.